Delaney picks up a much-needed win in Nashville. Carson Hocevar is playing a residency in the NASCAR Doghouse and is the most popular driver award up for grabs. We'll tackle these and a lot more on this issue of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
As you probably heard in the tease, we have a myriad of topics to tackle on today's show, so we have a big all-star lineup. John Roberts coming to us from Nashville, John of Sirius XM NASCAR radio fame. Lee Spencer, also from Sirius and Catch Fence, and the poster of a million different articles. And Kyle Petty joins me in studio. First thing we'll do is break down the action from Nashville Super Speedway. Kyle, always good to have you in the house.
It's good to be here, man. Always. You know that.
I know. Yeah. I do know that.
That's
it
right.
Makes me feel good.
Yeah.
There's a certain warmth in
like
the studio right now.
I like
now.
It here.
Can't imagine. Nashville Super Speedway, let's just talk about the track and the kind of show that we saw. What were your overall impressions of what went down?
So it's funny, and we heard all the drivers talk about how they couldn't pass and how that was hard. So that just is a common refrain we hear week in and week out and at the Cup Series level. But what I find interesting, I thought Charlotte was an intense race, and it was a defensive race where the guy that got in the lead had to play defense a lot and had to keep the guys behind him. And that just transferred to Nashville. The intensity from the time they dropped the green flag and until the last few laps of the race, until Blaney got a 2 or 3 second breather, that's basically it. The intensity that these guys bring week in and week out. I thought it was a good race. I really enjoyed the race.
Lee Spencer, do we have a new favorite track on NASCAR? I know that moves around and it's fluid depending on how we're living in the moment. But this weekend's results from Nashville seemed to grade out pretty nice.
I thought it was pretty sporty as well, but I would be hard-pressed not to look at Charlotte. And I was advocating keep Charlotte in mind for your championship race going forward. This product with the next-gen car, it proves to be best on the intermediate tracks, and I think that that has played out. I think that's why NASCAR is finally getting more horsepower on the table for the short tracks and the road courses, simply because what we have in the intermediates now don't fix what's not broken. It's fabulous.
Lee Spencer, John Roberts says it's fabulous. Are you part of the Fab Three here? I guess if I joined in, it would be the Fab Four. But
hey,
that's already taken, isn't it?
Hey, now fabulous.
You're a rock star.
But you know what, guys? If you go back, I think you'd have to go back to the days when Jimmy Johnson was winning every dang thing to find an unpopular victory. Usually there's popular victories week in and week out. But when you go to the three that we had this weekend in terms of Nashville, you know, you start out with Raja Carruth and the trucks. That's a huge popular victory. Very well-respected driver. And then, you know, who doesn't like Justin Allgaier? You have to go pretty far to find someone that doesn't like that. And then you got Ryan Blaney winning on Sunday night. So I think when you look at the overall weekend, each race had its own different complexion, I thought, in the way it was decided. But when the outcome, when you got to the end of it, I think there were guys in victory lane that were really the ones that people were pretty happy about. And again, when you talked a second ago, Doug, about this racetrack, you have to take me with a grain of salt here because I'm being selfish because this is home now and I'm a little bit biased. But I thought to start to finish, it was just simply a great race weekend capped off with Blaney's win.
Even though you had over 100 laps to end with no cautions, I never felt like it got bogged down. You know, quickly referring there to Justin Allgaier, I realized what a horrible person I am now. I've always pulled for Justin Allgaier.
Yeah.
Here's a guy, he needs a championship, he needs to win. He was in Cup, now he's back. And then the other day I found myself, because he just dominated the race, oh, well, he's going to win again. Look at that. And then I caught myself.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, you're a horrible person. You know,
you're a race fan, Doug.
Yeah, you're just a race fan, man. You're just a sports fan.
Like, I went from going to hug him to, like, okay, I'm ambivalent.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. really believes the championship is a game changer for Justin Allgaier, and I have to agree with him.
Yeah.
You get that kind of confidence from finally breaking through, and it's paying off dividends.
Well, obviously so, because it looked rather routine the way he took the field apart in the Xfinity show up at Nashville Super Speedway. Ryan Blaney wins. Surprised at all, Kyle Petty?
No. And you know what? I was listening to some stuff, and I think I was listening to Lee and to Brad last night, and a caller, I can't remember who it was, but they talk about, he's got five DNFs.
Right.
But most of those DNFs are engines. And that's a component that they don't control. That comes from the Roush Yates engine program. So that's a component. But the components they do control, they've made very few mistakes, and they've had speed. And that is the one thing you hear everybody talk about it. And even Denny Hamlin last night said, "We just got beat by faster cars. We just didn't have the speed." Everybody talks about the speed. If you show up with speed, you're going to win races. Blaney has shown up with speed this year.
Let's hear from Ryan Blaney.
Honestly, I don't think that anybody lays up after they win a race. It's not like they go on this whole science experiment type thing, right? Because, being in top 10 in points matter in the regular season. It's playoff points. You still want to run well. You still want to win races. But it does matter. It just kind of sets it all at ease. Like, okay. Nice to just kind of finally get the monkey off your back and win a race and then move on, and to go try to win more. It is important. Obviously, I would have liked to have won a little earlier, and I feel like we had great shots to do it. It just didn't really happen for us, but it's really nice to finally get in victory lane and have that little sense of ease in your brain.
So here's what you do. Once you win a race, it's not the experiment. You just put the Xanax back in the counter and in the cabinet. That's it. It takes that edge off.
Lock it back up.
You can put it back. It takes that edge off.
Is there a little thing at the break glass in case of emergency?
Yeah, in case of emergency.
Take two of these. See me in the morning. John
Roberts. I can tell you though, real quick, just finishing second, the second time that he finished second and he watched his teammate win, Ryan Blaney was a mess. He needed time to recover and recuperate before I interviewed him. I bet I stood there for 10 minutes while he and Jonathan Hassler debriefed. And just to see the relief in his face last night in victory lane was well worth the price of admission. Yep.
John Roberts, at any point in time, have you been worried that Ryan Blaney wouldn't make the playoffs?
No, I didn't. These are long seasons, and if I may quote Kyle, I may quote Jimmy Spencer: "The cream rises to the crop."
That's actually it.
The cream rises to the top.
But cream rises to the crop, baby. That's exactly. It's one of the greatest Jimmy Spencer quotes.
One of the greatest quotes of all time. But he was, what he meant to say was absolutely correct. And also one thing I like about this: while I would never be worried about Ryan or the Penske's or anybody if they're lagging back. We remember back a few years ago, it was really quick. Everybody was saying, "Oh, what's wrong with the 48 team? Are Jimmy and Chad not getting along?" And then they'd rip off three wins, and they say, "Okay, why are we saying that?" And it's easy. And I say early in the season. Yeah, I know it's about halfway now, but I was never concerned about it because you saw again this word parity that NASCAR has worked for, and having one team or one person dominate a sport has never worked out well for the sport. The only exception I would say would be the Tiger Woods phenomenon in golf. That worked great for the sport. If one team or one person is kicking everybody's butt, it tends to alienate fans a little bit. But if you look from the start to the finish, guys, we've got a great diversity of Ford, Chevy, Toyota wins. And so that is why I thought, listen, this is a winning race team. And there's some guys that are hiding in the background right now. I say hiding in the background, but some of the guys who have not yet won this year. And you look at, Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, Briscoe, Bowman, Buescher and Kyle Busch. Those are you guys that are in the playoffs right now by virtue just of points, haven't won yet. So I'm not, and I'm also not worried about any of them potentially winning.
I am, but we'll get into that later on.
Okay.
By the way, you talked about that diversity in the manufacturers. A great battle there during the race with Denny Hamlin in a Toyota, and you had William Byron in the Chevrolet, and you had Blaney in the Ford. Three or four laps of really,
really
scintillating stuff. And the equity people got to be happy because all voices were singing. It was practically a United Nations of race cars.
And it was, and you're right. And earlier, as like I said, this was just a continuation of what I think we saw at Charlotte in a lot of ways. The only difference between Nashville and Charlotte was the Ford contingent showed up at Nashville, right, and they didn't show up here. You know, they struggled to put a car in the top five to top 10 here. And the Penske cars were non-existent here at Charlotte.
A week later,
they're all he and Joey, Blaney and Joey run up front.
Toyota's had a pretty good day. Let's give you our Toyota scoreboard from Nashville Super Speedway. Denny Hamlin was third. Sixth was Bubba Wallace, who recovered from a speeding penalty early on. Eric Jones with the nice run. Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell. All five of those Toyotas finished in the top 10. And that is our Toyota update, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. You didn't think we'd do a show and not talk about Carson Hocevar. We'll dissect him next.
Here's what you missed last week on Toyota Gazoo Racing. Bubba was totally... as he... around the pack, managing to... across the finish line to claim me in victory lane. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
It is Fast Talk. Our panel today, Lee Spencer and John Roberts, both of them you hear a great deal on the NASCAR channel on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, at Kyle Petty. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere in the world to be heard.
That's it. Everywhere you want to be.
Yes. He is omniscient. You'd have to go to a cave in Bangladesh not to hear from Kyle
Petty. That's exactly right.
Speaking of caves and Bangladesh, I'm wondering if that's where Carson Hocevar wishes he were. This is not a new thing.
No, it's not.
This is not new. You mentioned Jimmy Spencer earlier. He was this guy. So, Kyle Busch was this guy.
Listen,
Chastain was this guy.
So here's what I laugh about. Listen, the guy he ran into, Ricky Stenhouse, was this guy. Okay?
This guy.
Yeah. Good one there, Lee. So, and the fascinating part, I think there's multiple things, okay? And I've said this about Carson before, and this happens in this sport, and you see it and you hear it from drivers. When a driver comes from relative obscurity, and we're just going to put it in those terms, and suddenly runs in the top four, top five, or can run up there with those guys, the guys that are used to running up there, they get mad. They don't want a new guy up there. They don't want to have to race with another guy, with a new guy. So you hear that. And then the guys that have been up there, like Ricky, and have been but don't run up there all the time, they see Carson leapfrogging them. They whine about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So listen, if you drive a race car, when God sends you to Earth and he says, you're going to be a race car driver, here's the whine gene. Okay? You get the whine gene. Okay? You get it. And you get it in mega dose. Okay? Because you're going to whine about everything that somebody else does, but not about you. Carson Hocevar is, this is who he was. This is who he was in truck. This is who he's been in Xfinity, late model, everywhere he's been. He's done this. And I find it fascinating that I'm watching Amazon and they're complaining about how Carson drives. And hey, when this goes off, please stream the Earnhardt documentary, which is exactly what Earnhardt did. You know what I mean? He changed the sport. The way he came in and with his roughness and gruffness and his raw talent, he changed the sport. And that's what Carson's doing in a certain way, is he's changing that top group of drivers on how they're going to have to race.
There was this phenomenon when I was in elementary school. It may have been just directed at me, but you'd be out recess or whatever, and somebody would scream, dog pile.
Oh, yeah.
And they would wrestle one poor person to the ground.
Yes.
And everybody on the playground jumps on top.
Yes.
John Roberts, is this NASCAR's version of somebody screaming dog pile?
I think so, but I love Kyle's whine gene, because, you know, that's what these guys wouldn't get to this, guys and girls wouldn't get to this position in their career if they didn't have the selfishness, if they didn't have the whine gene to reach the top of a profession that's so difficult to be there. But you know, the point about, watch this race and then watch the Earnhardt documentary, but since Dale came along, anytime somebody that has gone on to be good has ruffled feathers. Kyle Busch, everybody thought he was the worst thing on the racetrack. He was winning every damn thing, but they were saying that he's just awful. He's knocking everybody out of the way. He's dirty. Brad Keselowski, I think they blamed the weather on Brad Keselowski for a while. Joey Logano, and now Carson. And if I'm not mistaken, guys, I thought this was called NASCAR racing. I didn't think it was called NASCAR move over for an older dude. I don't think it was called NASCAR get out of the way of a dude with two championships. It's called NASCAR racing, and Carson Hocevar owes it to his fans, his sponsors, and his team to go out there and dig, and I love what he's doing.
I want to hit Lee up here. You interviewed him last night, and he gave you a great answer when you said, you asked him something about, is this going to come back on you, or will there be conversation?
Will it overshadow your progress?
Yeah, and I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but he gave you a great answer on his team and how they were making progress.
They're focused on performance.
Performance.
And period.
That was a great answer. That was a great answer from him on that question. That was a great question, but that was a great answer because he doesn't care. He's like Joey Logano. When he puts a helmet on, he showed up for one purpose, to get the trophy, to get the check. And if I make a friend, fine. If I don't make any friends, I'm okay with that too, because I'm going home and I won the race. And that's all that really matters.
Don't you think Ross Chastain is the most recent case study with this, though? Because Ross did the same thing, and then he gets chastised by Mr. H. You know, Rick Hendrick calls you and, you know, pretty much shames you into going back into your corner and not mixing it up with the big boys. You take that with a grain of salt. It sticks in the back of your head. Ross just finally got his mojo back last week in Charlotte. He wore his Coca-Cola 600 champion ring all week long, just to remind himself that he is a winner. He can go out and get the crown jewels of the sport. And I don't know if Ross will go back to this tweener driver that we saw between Mr. Aggressive and I'm going to ride back around in the back and not piss off anybody. I hope he goes back to being that guy again. But remember, he and Chastain got into it at Atlanta, and it took a while for that relationship to repair itself because Ross had mentored Carson since the Nice days.
Yeah. I'm curious to see. I hope that Carson Hocevar doesn't get neutered like Chastain did.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happened to him. Ross was making headlines. He was winning races. And going back to what Lee was talking about, until Rick Hendrick invokes all of the power of Hendrick Motorsports and says, you know, you could get into trouble. And then Ross disappeared for a year.
I just go, and you're right. And so the other gene that drivers get is the insecurity gene. Okay. that they're all insecure. They have to be told that they're good. They have to, and they have to, something has to happen for them to convince them again sometimes, right? Because losing is a habit. And when you start getting beat, you just get used to it, and it's just tough to win again. But, and I'm going to say this, and this is the way that I grew up with my dad, and this is kind of the way that I grew up in the garage area and stuff, is you see these pictures and you see photos of all the drivers standing together, you know, and for the Winston or for a Goodyear poster or something. Well, I came along when drivers didn't like each other enough to be in the same room to take pictures like that. They would bring you in one at a time and then Photoshop everybody into it. You know what I mean? We don't have to like each other. My job is to put my foot on your throat and choke you out for 500 laps and win the race. My job is to beat you into submission. You know what I mean? That's why I hate the lucky dog. I hate the lucky dog, okay? Because I'm supposed to work at the shop all week long and build the best car I can and drive it to the best of my ability. And that means I go out and lap you, and the caution comes out and you get your lap back, but I didn't get it. I didn't get rewarded for doing the job I was supposed to do. What's the reward for the guy that lapped you? You know what I mean? There should be a reward. You're the loser. You got to lap down, dude. You got to lap down. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I hear you.
So at that time, and I think Joey has that attitude. Earnhardt had that attitude. Kale and Pearson and those guys. I say it all the time. How many times you think Kel Yarborough called somebody up on Monday and said, "Hey, sorry I beat you yesterday, bud. You want to go play golf? Let's go play golf. I think they'd be good. I think we could get our relationship back on track. But I'm going to beat you again next week, too." You know what I mean? I mean, that just didn't happen. Listen, I'm ranting right now, so take it back.
No, I love it. I love it.
It just wears me out to think that these guys have to be friends or they have to have relationships, because they don't. They don't have to have a relationship. They don't have to be friends. Even when you're teammates, you should want to and aspire to be the best Hendrick driver, the number one Hendrick driver, the number one Gibbs driver, the number one Penske driver. And yes, you've got to share that information with your teammates, but there's something gratifying about sharing all your information with a teammate and then kicking his butt, because you know he's got the same information you've got and you were still better than him.
John Lee, quick question here. I fear that they're going to get the file out and sand off all the rough edges of Carson Hocevar. I like the guy. I think he's got a good personality. Does he need to back off occasionally? Maybe. But are we in danger, John, of just pounding him into another vanilla, bland, I don't have any personality driver?
I hope not. I really hope not. And I like what he said. He was with us. He was with us yesterday morning at the racetrack before the race. And he was talking about, you know, he was making that point that Kyle just made. All week long, we work to beat everybody there. That is their job to beat us, and it is our job to beat them, the rest of the guys on the racetrack. So I don't know, guys. I just think we all remember the boys have at it. We all remember the times when they said, "Hey, we really need these guys to have personalities, that we were too corporate. Everybody was putting on the white shirts and saying Goodyear's great, Gatorade's great, and everything on the racetrack is great. And, don't say anything wrong about anybody else or you'll be an outcast." But I certainly, Doug, I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen, because personalities really, especially in racing, but in all sports, personalities are important to have, and I think it helps racing.
Lee?
I think we have to remember he's 22 years old, and I've talked extensively to his team owner, Jeff Dickerson. Dickerson doesn't want him to change a thing, and as long as he green lights Carson, that's going to be fabulous. Dickerson is convinced in 2 years from now, Carson Hocevar is a championship contender. Can you imagine Spire having a championship contender 2 years from now, coming from what they started, having the technical alliance with Hendrick Motorsports, but standing on their own with a guy who can win championships? That's exactly the vision that Jeff Dickerson has, and he has it with Carson Hocevar.
Now we'll see how all of this plays out. Are there any mortal locks left, or have we used up all the mortality? We'll chat about that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. all Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Welcome to the land of the free, where we pledge allegiance to the flag, salute racing's rich history, and raise a drink to the new gladiators who dare take on the last great Coliseum. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race NASCAR Playoff Weekend returns to Bristol Motor Speedway September 11th through the 13th. Get a weekend package and a camping spot and make it a weekend to remember. It's not just a night race, it's Bristol, baby.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if it hit.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Just past the halfway point of the NASCAR Cup season, as far as the regular season is concerned, we've had nine different winners this year. They are the most recent one: Ryan Blaney, Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Josh Berry, Ross Chastain, William Byron, Kyle Larson, and Austin Cindric. Nine different drivers, Lee Spencer, have gone to victory lane. Are there any mortal locks left? Now that Blaney has won, is there a driver left that absolutely you are sure, you bet the family fortune on, is going to win?
I have to think Chase Elliott or Tyler Reddick. And Chase Elliott, he's a perennial contender, and so he's in Hendrick equipment. I just think that there will be a track where he finds himself and breaks through. You know, up to now, he's kind of just been so-so. But at some point, he's going to have to pull off the dub. And you know, I'm not quite sure where it could be, maybe a short track. His two top fives, and it's hard to believe that we're 14 races in and we're only talking about two top fives for Chase Elliott, but you have the shortest track, Martinsville, the biggest track, Talladega. So somewhere in between, doesn't he have to find victory lane?
JR, what do you think? John Roberts?
I'm absolutely with those two candidates. But let's remember, guys, NASCAR set out, again, back to my word parody on this. NASCAR set out a while ago with this race car to put people like Spire Motorsports, Carson Hocevar, front row when Michael McDowell was there. He was able to win. And I think part of it, the parody was the new race car and all the standard parts. But the other half of it was, I think that these guys were busting their butts, and you're putting better people in better places to get more winners. So you expect Tyler Reddick to win. You expect a lot of these guys that win year in and year out. But I also expect some people to sneak up and go to these racetracks that are out there that have the availability, that we call them the wild cards, that I think not only are we going to see a couple more of the usual suspects, but I think you're going to see a couple surprises too.
All right, he's playing to the outside straight here. Kyle Petty, we've got an absolute mortal lock. Is there anybody in the deck?
I don't think there is. And I hear what Lee says, but now, and she's right, you know, you would think that the 9 and Chase Elliott would be there. But like you said, we're 13, 14 races in the season. They got two top fives. Are we looking at a past champion and a past winner in this sport and saying, okay, like Lee said, he can win on the short tracks and he can win on the big tracks. There's only five or six tracks that he can win on. You know what I mean? What happened to the day when he could win on every track? What happened to the day when he showed up and he was a contender everywhere? You know, she called him a, I think she said a perennial contender.
Perennial contender.
And I had to, I took a double take because I thought you said a perennial pretender. Okay. So I had to have a double take there, because the point is, at the same time, all this, William Byron is putting that thing in the top five every single week, leading laps, dominating races. And we look at the five car yesterday, horrendous performance in the first segment, was within 15, 20 feet of getting lapped on there in the last 8 or 10 laps of the race. And they work and they work and they work and they come back and he gets a top 10 out of it. The whole time he's doing this, the nine car is hovering around 17th, 18th, 19th. You know, he's just there. And the 48 car, he's just there. You know what I mean? And yes, they have the potential, because it's a Hendrick organization, to light a fuse and send a man to the moon. That's how simple it is. So they can. But I'm not going to give them that they're a lock, because, listen, they may miss the moon when they shoot. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I'm not going to give anybody a lock at this point in time, because those teams that we talk of, the Tyler Reddicks and these other teams, have made mistakes, continue to make mistakes, continue to take themselves out of races, and they've not run enough clean races to say that they are going to make something happen.
I always felt like Blaney was an absolute lock. He was going to get
speed.
His. Because, yes, new vernacular of NASCAR, he has speed. I thought that was what we were there for. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
But anyway.
I know.
You know, but you go back to like the Iliad and the Odyssey, and you're tied to the mast so you don't hear the siren song.
Yeah.
Chase Elliott is the sirens.
Yeah.
Oh, see what I did there?
Yeah, that was good. That was good. That was really good.
That was so good.
Cue the pool room.
But he is. He's the siren song.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he's going to win because he's going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm not feeling it. I'm not hearing the song of the sirens.
I can't buy it right now. But now I'm going to say this, and Lee can speak to this because she's there every week, is, you know, if we go back to when, you know, Christopher Bell won three in a row, we had already put his name on the championship trophy. And then Denny won two in a row when we put his name on it. And this is such a sport of streaks. Mm-hmm. And such a sport of, I'm in the race, and 2 weeks later, I can't even make the race. You know, that type of thing. So it is an up and down. And that's why it's so hard to pick a champion, because you don't, until you get to those last, you know, six or seven races, nobody really, you can't put your money on any horse.
So, Lee, are we hearing the sirens? You're hearing the siren song of Chase Elliott, right?
I would think, but Kyle's absolutely right. You see streaks, and speaking of streaks, you look at Denny Hamlin and what happened to him over the month of May. I mean, it was absolutely brutal. Here's a guy who set the world on fire, and then at Talladega, his engine blows. He finishes 38th. Kansas, his drivetrain goes. He finishes 36th. I don't know what the hell they were thinking at the All-Star race. I mean, he was just completely lost from the get-go and never recovered. And then at Charlotte, he led, 53 laps and then runs out of fuel. The execution there was just horrific in May. And now he comes back. New month, new Denny, new 11 team. Can they hold on to that? But that's the kinds of ups and downs that Kyle addressed. And there are teams that are going to have to get every element going. One thing that Chase Elliott said at the beginning of the year, and it really proved provident at Martinsville, was we have to get our weekends going with qualifying. If we don't qualify well, we can't come back. On the other side of that, you look at the 48-esque run by the five car. That was so Jimmy and Chad. Yes. I mean, it was like what they did to come back that way. That's the difference between your contender and your pretender, Kyle.
All right, let's get into the mortal lock situation. I'm going to give you each a driver name, one answer here. It's either yes or no, they're going to win or they are not going to win. I'm going to start with you, Kyle. Ty Gibbs, yes or no?
No.
There you go. Bubba Wallace for John Roberts, yes or no?
Yes.
Bubba Wallace wins, according to John Roberts. A little bit tougher one here, Lee Spencer. Eric Jones, he's coming off a top 10.
No, I don't think the legacy group is ready yet.
All right, back to Kyle Petty, Chris Buescher.
No.
AJ Allmendinger for you, John Roberts.
Ooh, that's a tough, because we got road courses, man. When you go, I'm gonna say no.
Good. Daniel Suarez, Lee Spencer, you get the other side of track house here.
If there was ever a chance where you know, somebody waves a magic wand, it would happen at Mexico City. I mean, that would be the script, right? But I think there's too much competition with guys now that are just road course aces that knock him out.
And he's a lame duck, right?
Appears to be that way. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, he's not back next year. Yeah. There.
Round the horn for everybody here, and then we'll wrap up this segment. Brad Keselowski, Kyle Petty.
No.
No? John Roberts?
No.
Lee Spencer.
On the fence.
Can't be on the fence.
God, I love you, Lee.
It says you're either hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, you get spit out. So what do we got here?
I say no. I just don't. Something's just missing. You get flashes of brilliance from Priest. You get flashes of brilliance from Buescher. But the six has been missing in action all year long. They finally get a top five. But you got to do that consistently before you hit the jackpot.
Emotionally, you want all of them to win.
Yeah, you really do.
Because you can talk yourself into a win for every one of them. But when you look at the hard, cold facts of how they run week in and week out, you have to say no.
Yeah. I mean, I want Brad.
Yeah. I want Brad to win.
I want Kyle Busch to win.
Yes.
But I'm not seeing it right now. You know?
Nope.
So, all right. So we broke that down. Coming up, souvenir sales. It is the straw that stirs the drink.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Riders, start your engines!
Atlanta Motor Speedway is built for battles. High speeds, tight packs, dramatic finishes.
Crossover move! They're three wide for the lead!
But you've never seen Atlanta Motor Speedway like this, under the lights, where every moment feels bigger. Experience the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, Saturday, June 28th, under the lights in Atlanta. Get your tickets now at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Eric Almirola, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinger on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Fame is measured in a lot of ways, so is success. Merchandise sales is way up the ladder of deciding who is where in that lineup. And this year, as we are 14 races into the Cup season, there's a new leader in the clubhouse for merch sales, John Roberts, and that is Kyle Larson. He is ahead of Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Ross Chastain, and Ryan Blaney. Those are the top fives. Surprised at all that Kyle Larson is now numero uno?
No, not at all, because in his own words, no one races more than Kyle Larson, and the guy is just so flat-out good at driving anything, and I think that the reinforcement you get there, the verification you get from the fans, I've always said this, and it just rings so true in racing. Someone could come up to you and say, hey, man, I love you. You're great. Okay, that's just fine because they just said that. But when they stroke a check or swipe a credit card for you, when they put money behind what they're saying, that means they really like you and they like you a lot. And it doesn't surprise me at all because of what Kyle's been able to – he's just such a consummate racer. He's just so dang good, and he just shows up everywhere all week long. So that does not surprise me at all, and I like the fact that, you know, for so many years – if your name wasn't Earnhardt, you didn't sell the merchandise like everybody else. And then a few others started popping up. So I like this. I like it being spread around the wealth a little bit.
Lee, can Kyle Larson spin being number one in merch sales to being the most popular driver?
I would absolutely love to see that. And, you know, a couple things here. No one understands the merch game better than the dirt trackers. That is their bread and butter. That's how they make their money. They factor in enough time at dirt track races so the drivers can go out to their haulers, meet and greet with the fans. I have been to enough dirt track races this year to see the lines out the back for Kyle Larson, for Casey Kane. Rico Abreu is a master. Even his dog has merchandise at the merch trailer. And from my perspective as a reporter, if I want to go and talk to a driver, get an interview, I go to their merch hauler because they're like fish in a barrel, right? I mean, I know where to find them. I know where to get them. The fans know the same thing, and it really pays off in spades. Plus, he also did the Indy 500, so you're kind of getting that double up on merch. If you're a NASCAR fan and you went to the Indy 500, or you're a dirt track fan and you went to the Indy 500, you're going to buy Kyle, you know, Larson merchandise to support your driver prior to that event.
All right, top five are Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch is number three, Ross Chastain is number four, Ryan Blaney is number five. Crowd loved that he won, by the way, at Nashville. Kyle, I'm going to give you the next five, and there's a theme here. Joey Logano is number six. Seventh on merch sales, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Eighth is Justin Allgaier. I think there's a reason for that. The ninth sailing merchandise leader is Dale Earnhardt Sr. Any surprises there?
No, no. Just sadness. And just sadness. And this is why. And let me say that this is why is put the, can you put that list back up again? If you could. And as, because as you look at that, you've got, and I'm going to go back. So if you go by merch sales and we do this, Earnhardt always sold.
Right.
Earnhardt always sold, but Bill Elliott was always the most popular driver. So the guy that didn't sell the most was the most popular driver.
He had a better lobby.
Mean? Yeah. And that's what we see. Is that what we're going to see here? You know what I mean? It's the same thing. But as I look at this, and my point is this, when you look at these guys that are up there, and you look at Kyle and Chase and Kyle and then Ross and Blaney and Joey, let's just look at the top six. So you're telling me that there's no heroes in this sport, because all you have to do is reach back to Earnhardt Sr. and Earnhardt Jr., and people like that. So there's no heroes in this sport. And that's why I say I look at that, the merch list, with sadness, because it's not, you're telling me these guys aren't relevant, that because their souvenir sales aren't making them relevant. You know what I mean? And that's a sad statement to where the sport is and where the drivers are. In a lot of ways, when I look at that, those numbers more so than I see that.
I look at this too, and there's a couple of anomalies here. Justin Allgaier, the defending Xfinity Series champion, is number eight. And I was talking with Alexis Erickson about this morning on the way in. There's one reason that he's number eight.
It's
the Daytona 500 car that he raced this year for Junior Motorsports.
And so there's two reasons, because I'm going to give you two reasons. There, it's the Daytona 500 car. And he drives for Junior, and most of this stuff says Junior Motorsports on it. You know what I mean?
You got the tailwind of the Junior.
Of the Junior Motorsports. That's exactly right. There is that reason. Yeah.
That was a badass livery, though, I've got to say, on that Daytona 500 car. From the whole thing, from the helmet down to the car, that was spot on. Well, and they really capitalized on it.
The fact they had a good day at the racetrack.
Yeah.
Came away with the top 10.
So now we're back to the list, and we're back to most popular, and we're back to all this stuff. So it's and it's back to what Lee said, and she's exactly right. Dirt track racers, local racers, just like local musicians, they make their money at the merch table. They're not going to make their money standing on stage. They're not going to make a lot of money, but they're going to make that money at the merch table. You know what I mean? And now these guys have established, and Earnhardt and with the marketing and that, it's about marketing and making your money here. This is a marketing game more so than a race game. And that's what that list shows.
People still have to embrace you.
They have to embrace you at some
marketing
point.
Marketing gets you in the door, but it's not going to keep you there. All right, coming up, a little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Ty Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. If you want a show with no limits on opinions, join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It proves that these guys are of the elite motorsports level. Being able to win the way that he did, I think, means even more that there weren't any fenders being put to anybody. And for those guys to show what they can do, to race cleanly on a road course, they've certainly proved what they can do.
We're starting to see the top competitors become top road course racers.
Join us each week for the Pit Reporters.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. About them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
To have John Roberts of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Lee Spencer of the same. I think Lee is working from a hotel bunker somewhere in Nashville, and JR lives up there. He may have a bunker. Do you have a bunker under your house, John?
It's kind of like a half man cave, half bunker. It's not very secure.
He's got a drum set in there, and he's got some cabinets that he's working on that he's building. He's got a lot of stuff he's working on.
Got my toys, but it's not necessarily secure.
Cabinets. My wife wants new cabinets.
This is your man.
I know a guy.
I know a guy. Oh my gosh, you need to talk to him. Serious. You ought to see his work. It's phenomenal. Truly.
Thank you, Kyle. Truly. It's all right. Yeah. The guy's okay.
Even when you're laying on a stretcher and you see it. That's a whole other story.
We'll get to that someday.
That's a whole other story.
You are like a high level woodworking dude.
Yes,
aren't
he is.
I do, and I love it. And, you know, it's funny, guys, when you do something just for a hobby, it's a little bit different than when you kind of have to do it for a living. But it goes back to that old thing, remember, that our daddies told us for so long, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. So I get to come on the radio with you guys, talk to some of my best friends ever. And then I get to go build stuff for the rest of the day.
That's cool.
Life is good, guys. Life is good.
My daddy always used to say, get out of my life. I had no idea what that meant until one day I said that to my daughter because she was standing between me and the lamp and I'm trying to read the paper. And it just came out. And I went, that's what he meant.
That's what he meant. That's it.
Usually followed by a smack, but that's okay. Let's go do this right now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, off we go. I read a series of statements prepared by overpaid writers, and if our panel likes it and gives it a green flag, we hear this. Yep. They dislike it or give it a black flag. And if they give an answer that just we don't care for here in the booth.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Okay,
oh my
all
gosh,
that.
That's a good one.
Brand new. All right, we're going to start with, my mom always said company goes first. John Roberts, Carson Hocevar will win a race this year.
Absolutely, 100%, guys. I'm really believing that. Because if you keep creeping up week in and week out, we see it over the history of racing. Yes, absolutely.
Lee Spencer.
Green flag. He doesn't just keep up. When you come from 39th at Charlotte, 26th last night, and you work your way through the field to the front, you're going to hit gold.
How about it, Doug?
I'm not going to be the curmudgeon here. Yes, he'll win a race.
All right, and Kyle
Petty.
Listen,
I'm a card-carrying member of his fan club, and I'm going to say no, he will not win a race. Here's why. Because of what Lee just said. He qualifies 26th. He qualifies 39th. He spends all day long trying to get to the front, and he doesn't get an opportunity to race up there enough. He's got to qualify better. Most of the time, you win a pole before you win a race. Just throwing
he
it
did win
there.
A pole at Texas.
Yeah, I got you on that. I got you. But so let me rephrase that. You win multiple poles before you win a race. Okay? Let me say that.
All right, Lee, let's give you this one first. The playoff field will be filled mostly with winners this season.
Absolutely, because I'll just look at Team Penske. They got four right out the bat.
Doug Rice.
We have 9 different winners right now. 4 people will get in on points, so that means we'll have 12 different winners. I've expanded my list. I'm a little bit more generous handing out the winning biscuits, but I still think 4, maybe 5 get in on points.
Kyle, what about it?
What was the question again?
The playoff field will be filled mostly with winners this season.
No, I think we've seen all the winners we're going to see. How about that? I think the next few races are going to be won by the guys that have already won.
All right, John Roberts.
No, we're going to add some, guys. Look who's on the outside looking in. Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, Chase Briscoe. We got winners back there. I think we're going to add many more. I say two dudes get in by virtue of points.
All right, got them back in the back room. Let's go to Doug Rice on this one.
I'm Prime. The curmudgeon today.
Oh.
I love it. That's right. Took my mantle away
Wear
from
it
me.
Well, yeah. Doug Rice, Prime's pre-race and post-race coverage is perfect.
It's beautiful. I sat at home and just sob watching. It's that good. No, it really is good. You know why it's good? It's not breaking ground. It's there. There was an hour post-race show after Nashville, and it wasn't anything revolutionary, but it was nice to have.
Yeah.
Kyle, what do you think?
So I'm with Doug. I did pre-race and post-race for NBC for, I think we did, 10 minutes before for pre-race and 5 minutes for post-race. And that's not enough of either one. And I think what they do is they do a show. And that's what needs to be done.
John.
Glad it's back to that level because there's enough storylines. It's not just filling airtime. It's compelling. I'm giving them, an above average because, we're a little picky. We used to do it. But still, above average, very good. And Kyle's right. It's there.
Lee, how do you feel?
Prime is giving the fans exactly what they want, more content. And if you want to bring in new viewers to Prime and you want to go after that market, you give them what they want. They have been clamoring for this kind of coverage. And with Fox going around away with their daily show, this is perfect for the fans that felt like they were missing out.
Very good. Doug Rice, there we are, another
right,
green flag, black flag.
By the way, let's do away with this phrase. There is no such thing in today's world as regular TV.
Good point.
Are they on regular TV? What is that? There is no such thing. You get your television via cable, and now streaming is not a barricade anymore to watching it. There may be seven people in America that have over-the-air, high-definition antennas.
Well, and the age is trending lower, right? That's exactly what NASCAR has wanted. They want that 18 to 35. They've wanted it for years, 18 to 35 streams. That's all you need to look at, the bottom line.
But Don't use the phrase regular television. There isn't. You're paying for something one way or the other. And I salute to Prime. They did 50 laps at the end of the race without a commercial because, you know why they did it? Because they can.
I got that, and that's perfect. I got a friend that still calls it. That was on national TV. Has to be a fact. Yeah. It's on national TV.
Yeah, there is no regular TV anymore. So let's just dispel that notion. We'll take a timeout, come right back with one last thing.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced. Call now. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call the Home Warranty Hotline now at 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. That's 800-610-2650.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Inside, Byron in the middle, Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge. And a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Let's put the bottle cap on this edition of Fast Talk. Guys, we got about 30 seconds here for an answer for one last thing.
One last thing.
See, I told you that's what's coming up. Lee Spencer, what do you got?
The 24 team isn't flashy. They haven't won since the Daytona 500, but they are the only team with single-digit average finishes and average qualifying efforts. That's going to carry them all the way to the championship four.
All right, John Roberts, one last thing.
Note to broadcasters, one person cannot verse another person. Verse is a noun. Versus is the preposition. So it's Kyle versus Doug. It's John versus Lee. I cannot verse anybody.
Okay.
Wow, unless you're a poet.
I'm a curmudgeon. I'm out curmudgeoning both Doug and Kyle.
Have you ever written poetry, Kyle? I know you've written songs.
But it was mostly on bathroom walls, Doug. So let's just let's just leave it.
There was a man from Nantucket.
Let's just leave it right there, Doug.
One last thing. You got a few seconds.
One last thing. If you're gonna watch post race on Amazon, verse. Serious. I'm going with serious. I really enjoyed Brad Gilley and Lee Spencer. I enjoyed you guys last night coming down the road. I enjoyed that. I heard John on it a few weeks ago. I was driving late at night after a race and heard it. Your information went from the drivers. Love that stuff.
Lee and Brad are crushing it over there.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's nice to see a sellout crowd at Nashville. Their response, that's three sellouts in a row. The All-Star, the 600, and Nashville. Way to show up, fans. Thanks a lot to John Roberts, Lee Spencer, Kyle Petty. I'm Doug Rice. We'll be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.